Be thou assured, good Cassio, I will do all my abilities in thy behalf.
Good Madam Doom.
I warrant it grieves my husband as if the cause were his.
Oh, that's an honest fellow.
Do not doubt, Cassio, but I will have my lord and you again as friendly as you were.
Bounteous, madam. Whatever shall become of Michael Cassio, he's never anything but your true servant.
I note. I thank you. You do love my lord. You've known him long, and be you well assured he shall in strangeness stand no farther off than in a politic distance.
Aye, but lady, that policy may either last so long, or feed upon such nice and waterish diet, or breed itself so out of circumstance, that I being absent and my place supplied, my general will forget my love and service.
Oh, do not doubt that. Before Amelia here, I give thee warrant of thy place. Assure thee, if I do vow a friendship, I'll perform it to the last article. My lord shall never rest. I'll watch him tame and talk him out of patience. His bed shall seem a school, his board a shrift. I'll intermingle everything he does with Cassio's suit. Therefore, be merry, Cassio, for thy solicitor shall rather die than give thy cause away.
Madam, here comes my lord.
Madam, I'll take my leave.
Why, stay and hear me speak.
Madam, not now. I am very ill at ease, unfit for mine own purpose.
Well, do your discretion.
Nothing, my lord. I know not one. Was not that Cassio parted from my wife?
Cassio, my lord? No, sure, I cannot think it that he would steal away so guilty like, seeing your captain.
I do believe 'twas he.
How now, my lord? I have been talking with a suitor here, a man that languishes in your displeasure.
Who is you mean?
Why, your lieutenant Cassio. Good, my lord. If I have any grace or power to move you, his present reconciliation take. For if he be not one that truly loves you, that errs in ignorance and not in cunning, I have no judgment in an honest face. I prithee, call him back.
Went he hence now?
I sooth, so humbled, that he hath left part of his grief with me to suffer with him. Good love, call him back.
Not now, sweet Desdemon. Some other time.
But shall it be shortly?
The sooner, sweet, for you.
Shall it be tonight at supper?
No, not tonight.
Tomorrow dinner, then.
I shall not dine at home. I meet the captains at the Citadel.
Why, then, tomorrow night, on Tuesday morn, on Tuesday noon, or night, on Wednesday morn. I prithee, name the time, but let it not exceed 3 days. In faith, he's penitent, and yet his trespass in our common reason, save that they say the wars must make example out of her best, is not almost a fault to incur a private check. When shall he come? Tell me, Othello. I wonder in my soul what you should ask me that I should deny or stand so mammering on. What? Michael Cassio, that came a-wooing with you, and so many time when I have spoken of you dispraisingly, hath ta'en your part, to have so much to do to bring him in. But, lady, I could do much.
Prithee, no more. Let him come when he will. I will deny thee nothing.
Why? This is not a boon. It is as I should entreat you wear your gloves, or feed on nourishing dishes, or keep you warm, or sue to you to do a peculiar profit to your own person. Nay, when I have a suit wherein I mean to touch your love indeed, it shall be full of poise and difficult weight, and fearful to be granted.
I will deny thee nothing. Whereon, I do beseech thee, grant me this, to leave me but a little to myself.
Shall I deny you? No. Farewell, my lord.
Farewell, my Desdemona. I'll come to thee straight.
Amelia, come. Be as your fancies teach you. Whate'er you be, I am obedient.
Oh, excellent wretch. Perdition catch my soul, but I do love thee. And when I love thee, noble lord.
What dost thou say, Iago?
Did Michael Cassio, when you wooed my lady, know of your love?
He did, from first to last. Why dost thou ask?
But for the satisfaction of my thought.
No further harm. Why of thy thought, young?
I did not think he'd been acquainted with me.
Oh, yes. Went between us very often. Indeed, aye, indeed. Discernst thou aught in that? Is he not honest?
Honest, my lord?
Honest, aye, honest.
My lord, for aught I know.
What dost thou think?
Think, my lord.
Think, my lord. By heaven, he echoes me as if there were some monster in his thoughts, too hideous to be shown. Thou didst mean something. I heard thee say even now, thou likes not that when Cassio left my wife. What didst not like? And when I told thee he was of my counsel in my whole course of wooing, thou criedst, indeed. And didst contract and purse thy brow together as if thou then hadst shut up in thy brain some horrible conceit. If thou dost love me, show me thy thought.
My lord, you know I love you.
I think thou dost. And for I know thou art full of love and honesty, and weighest thy words before thou givest them breath. Therefore these stops of thine fright me the more. For such things in a false, disloyal knave are tricks of custom. But in a man that's just, they're close dilations, working from the heart that passion cannot rule.
For Michael Cassio, I dare be sworn, I think that he is honest.
I think so too.
Men should be what they seem. Or those that be not, would they might seem none.
Certain. Men should be what they seem.
Think Cassio's an honest man?
Nay. Yet there's more in this. I prithee, speak to me as to thy thinkings, as thou dost ruminate, and give thy worst of thoughts the worst of words.
Good lord, pardon me. Though I'm bound to every act of duty, I'm not bound to that all slaves are free to. Utter my thoughts. I say they're vile and false. As where's that palace whereinto foul things sometimes intrude not? Who has that breast so pure, wherein uncleanly apprehensions keep leets and law days, and in session sit with meditations lawful?
Thou dost conspire against thy friend, Iago, if thou but think'st him wronged and mak'st his ear a stranger to thy thoughts.
I do beseech you, though I perchance am vicious in my guess, as I confess it is my nature's plague to spy into abuses, and my jealousy shape faults that are not, that your wisdom from one that so imperfectly conceits would take no notice, nor build yourself a trouble out of his scattering and unsure observance. It were not for your quiet, nor your good, nor for my manhood, honesty, and wisdom to let you know my thoughts.
Tell me.
Name in man and woman, dear, is the renewal of their souls. Who steals my purse? Steals trash. That is something, nothing. Was mine, tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed.
By heaven, I know thy thoughts.
You cannot, if my heart were in your hand, nor shall not while it is in my custody.
Huh?
Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat of that cuckold lives in bliss, who certain of his fate loves not his wronger. But oh, what damned minutes tells he o'er who dotes, yet doubts, suspects, yet soundly loves.
Oh, misery!
Poor and content is rich and rich enough, but riches fineless is as poor as winter to him that ever fears he shall be poor. Good God, the souls of all my tribe defend.
Why is this? Think'st thou I'd make a life of jealousy to follow still the changes of the moon with fresh suspicions? No, to be once in doubt is once to be resolved. Exchange me for a goat when I shall turn the business of my soul to such exsufflicate and blown surmises matching thy influence. 'Tis not to make me jealous to say my wife is fair, feeds well, loves company, is free of speech, sings, plays, and dances well. Where virtue is, these are more virtuous. Nor from mine own weak merits will I draw the smallest fear or doubt of her revolt, for she had eyes and chose me. No, Iago, I'll see before I doubt. When I doubt, prove. And on the proof, there is no more but this, away at once with love or jealousy.
I am glad of this, for now I shall have reason to show the love and duty that I bear you with franker spirit. Therefore, as I am bound, receive it from me. I speak not yet of proof. Look to your wife. Huh? Observe her well with Cassio. Wear your eyes thus, not jealous, nor secure. I would not have your free and noble nature out of self-bounty be abused. Look to it. I know our country disposition well. In Venice, they do let God see the pranks they dare not show husbands. Their best conscience is not to leave it undone, but keep it unknown.
Dost thou say so?
She did deceive her father, marrying you. And when she seemed to shake and fear your look, she loved them most.
And so she did.
Why, go to then. She that so young could give out such a seeming to seal her father's eyes up, close as oak, he thought was witchcraft. But I am much to blame. I humbly do beseech you of your pardon for too much loving you.
I am bound to thee forever.
I see this hath a little dashed your spirits.
Not a jot, not a jot.
If faith, I fear it has. I hope you will consider what is spoke comes from my love. But I do see you are moved. I am to pray you not to strain my speech to grosser issues, nor to larger reach than to suspicion.
I will not.
Should you do so, my lord, my speech shall fall into such vile success which my thoughts aimed not. Cassio's my worthy friend. Oh, my lord, I see her moved.
No, not much moved. I do not think but Desdemona's honest.
Long live she so, and long live you to think so.
And yet, how nature, erring from itself.
There's the point. As to be bold with you, not to affect many proposed matches of her own clime, complexion, and degree, whereto we see in all things nature tends. One may smell in such a will most rank, foul disproportions, thoughts unnatural. But pardon me, I do not in position distinctly speak of her, though I may fear her will, recoiling to her better judgment, may fall to match you with her country forms and happily repent.
Farewell, farewell.
If more thou dost perceive, let me know more. Set on thy wife, don't say. Meet me, Iago.
My lord, I take my leave.
Why did I marry? This honest creature doubtless sees and knows more, much more than he unfolds.
My lord, I would I might entreat your honor to scan this thing no farther. Leave it to time. Although it is fit that Cassio have his place, for sure he fills it up with great ability. Yet, if you please to hold him off a while, you shall by that perceive him and his means. Note if your lady strain his entertainment with any strong or vehement importunity. Much will be seen in that. In the meantime, let me be thought too busy in my fears, as worthy cause I have to fear I am, and hold her free. I do beseech your honor.
Fear not my government.
I once more take my leave.
This fellow's of exceeding honesty, and knows all qualities with a learned spirit of human dealings. If I do prove her haggard, though that her jesses were my dear heartstrings, I'd whistle her off and let her down the wind to pray at fortune. Haply, for I am black, and have not those soft parts of conversation that chamberers have. Or for I am declined into the veil of years. Yet that's not much. She's gone. I am abused. My relief must be to loathe her. Oh, curse of marriage, that we can call these delicate creatures ours, and not their appetites. I had rather be a toad and live upon the vapor of a dungeon than keep a corner in the thing I love for others' uses. Yet, 'tis the plague of great ones. Prerogative are they less than the base. 'Tis destiny unshunnable, like death. Even then this forked plague is fated to us when we do quicken. Look where she comes. If she be false, oh, then heaven mocks itself. I'm not believed.
How now, my dear Othello? Your dinner and the generous islanders by you invited do attend your presence.
I am to blame.
Why do you speak so faintly? Are you not well?
I have a pain upon my forehead here.
Faith, that's with watching. 'Twill away again. Let me but bind it hard. Within this hour it will be well.
Your napkin is too little. Let it alone. Come, I'll go in with you.
I am very sorry that you are not well.
I'm glad I found this napkin. This was her first remembrance from the moor. My wayward husband hath 100 times wooed me to steal it. But she so loves the token, for he conjured her she should ever keep it, that she reserves it evermore about her to kiss and talk to. I'll have the work ta'en out and give it to Iago. What he will do with it, heaven knows, not I. I nothing but to please his fantasy.
Anna, what do you here alone?
Do not you chide. I have a thing for you.
You have a thing for me. That is a common thing.
Huh?
To have a foolish wife.
Oh, is that all? What will you give me now for that same handkerchief?
What handkerchief?
What handkerchief? Why, that the Moor first gave to Desdemona, that which so often you did bid me steal.
Has stolen it from her?
No faith. She let it drop by negligence, and to the advantage I being here took it up. Look, here it is.
Wench, give it me.
What will you do with it? But you have been so earnest to have me filch it.
Why, what is that to you?
If it be not for some purpose of import, give it me again. Poor lady, she'll run mad when she shall lack it.
You're not like no not. I have use for it. Go. Leave me.
I will in Cassio's lodging lose this napkin and let him find it. Trifles light as air, out of the jealous confirmation, strong as proofs of holy writ. This may do something. The Moor already changes with my poison. Dangerous conceits are in our nature's poisons, which at the first are scarce found to distaste, but with a little act upon the blood burn like the mines of sulfur. I did say so. Look where he comes. Not poppy, nor mandragora, nor all the drowsy syrups of the world shall ever medicine thee to that sweet sleep which thou owedst yesterday. Why, how now, General? No more of that.
Avaunt! Begone! Thou set me on the rack! I swear it is better to be much abused than but to note a little.
How now, my lord?
What sense had I for stolen hours of lust? I saw it not, thought it not, it harmed not me. I slept the next night well, fed well, was free and merry. I found not Cassio's kisses on her lips. He that is robbed, not wanting what is stolen, let him not know it, and he's not robbed at all.
I am sorry to hear this.
I had been happy if the general camp, pioneers and all, had tasted her sweet body. So I had nothing known. Oh, now forever farewell the tranquil mind. Farewell content. Farewell the plumed troops and the big wars that make ambition virtue. Ah, farewell! Farewell the neighing steed and the shrill trump, the spirit-stirring drum, the ear-piercing fife, the royal banner, and all quality, pride, pomp, and circumstance of glorious war. And oh, you mortal engines whose rude throats the immortal Jove's dread clamors counterfeit, farewell! Oh, Othello's occupation's gone.
Is it possible, my lord?
Villain! Be sure thou prove my love a whore. Be sure of it. Give me the ocular proof, or by the worth of mine eternal soul, thou hadst been better had been born a dog than answer my wicked wrath.
Oh, it's come to this.
Make me to see it, or at the least so prove it that the probation bear no hinge nor loop to hang a doubt on. A war for thy life.
Oh, noble lord.
If thou dost slander her and torture me, never pray more. Abandon all remorse. On horror's heads horrors accumulate. Do deeds to make heaven weep, all earth amazed. For nothing canst thou to damnation add greater than that.
Oh. Oh, heaven forgive me. Are you a man? Have you a soul or sense? God, by you, take mine office. Oh, wretched fool that loves to make thine honesty a vice. Oh, monstrous world. Take note, O world. To be direct and honest is not safe. I thank you for this profit, and from hence I love no friend, sith love breeds such offense.
Nay, stay. Thou shouldst be honest.
I should be wise, for honest is a fool and loses that it works for.
By the world, I think my wife be honest and think she is not. I think thou art just and think thou art not. I'll have some proof.
my name that was as fresh as Diane's visage is now begrimed and black as mine own face. If there be cords or knives, poison or fire or suffocating streams, I'll not endure it. Oh, and I was satisfied.
I see you are eaten up with passion. I do repent me that I put it to you. You would be satisfied.
Would they? I will.
And may, but how? How satisfied, my lord? Would you the supervision grossly gape on? Behold her top.
They condemn this.
It were a tedious difficulty, I think, to bring them to that prospect. Damn them, then, if ever mortalized to see them bolster more than their own. What then? How then? What shall I say? Where satisfaction? It is impossible you should see this, were they as prime as goats, as hot as monkeys, as salt as wolves in pride, and fools as gross as ignorance made drunk. But yet I say, if imputation and strong circumstances, which lead directly to the door of truth, will give you satisfaction, you might have to.
Give me a living reason she's disloyal.
I do not like the office. But sith I am entered in this course so far, pricked to it by foolish honesty and love, I will go on. I lay with Cassio lately, and being troubled with a raging tooth, I could not sleep. There are a kind of men so loose of soul that in their sleeps will mutter their affairs. One of this kind is Cassio. In sleep, I heard him say, sweet Desdemona, let us be wary, let us hide our loves. And then, sir, would he gripe and wring my hand, cry, oh, sweet creature. Oh. Then kiss me hard as if he plucked up kisses by the roots that grew upon my lips. Laid his leg over my thigh and sigh and kiss and then cry, cursed fate that gave thee to the moor.
Monstrous, monstrous.
Nay, this was but his dream.
But this denoted a foregone conclusion. 'Tis a shrewd doubt, though it be but a dream.
And this may help to thicken other proofs that do demonstrate thinly.
I'll tear her all to pieces.
Nay, yet be wise. Yet we see nothing done. She may be honest yet. Tell me but this. Have you not sometimes seen a handkerchief spotted with strawberries in your wife's hand?
I gave her such a one. 'Twas my first gift.
I know not that. But such a handkerchief, I'm sure it was your wife's. Did I today see Cassio wipe his beard with?
If it be that.
If it be that or any, it was hers. It speaks against her with the other proofs.
Oh, that the slave had 40,000 lives. One is too poor, too weak for my revenge. Now do I see. 'Tis true. Look here, Iago. All my fond love, thus do I blow to heaven. 'Tis gone. Arise, black vengeance, from thy hollow hell. Yield up, O love, thy crown and hearted throne to Tyrannous hate. Swell, bosom, thy fraught, for 'tis of aspic's tongues.
Yet be content.
Oh, blood, blood, blood.
Patience, I say. Your mind may change.
Never, Iago. Like to the Pontic sea, whose icy current and compulsive course ne'er feels retiring ebb, but keeps due on to the Propontic and the Hellespont, even so my bloody thoughts, with violent pace, shall ne'er look back, ne'er ebb to humble love, till that a capable and wild revenge swallow them up. Now, by yon marble heaven, in the due reverence of a sacred vow, I here engage my words.
Do not rise yet. Witness, you ever-burning lights above, you elements that clip us round about, witness that here Iago doth give up the execution of his wit, hands, heart, to wronged Othello's service. Let him command, and to obey shall be in me remorse. What bloody business ever?
I greet thy love, not with vain thanks, but with acceptance bounteous, and will upon the instant put thee to it. Within these 3 days, let me hear thee say that Cassio's not alive.
My friend is dead. 'Tis done at your request, but let her live.
Damn her, lewd minx! Oh, damn her, damn her! Come, go with me apart. I will withdraw to furnish me with some swift means of death for the fair devil. Now art thou my lieutenant.
I am your own forever.